Marc Speckedal. My guest today is Philippe Acrin, one of the co-founders of La Quadrature du Net from France. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for giving me this opportunity to address the Net's politic listeners. Maybe I should say why La Quadrature du Net is called La Quadrature du Net. You know, it's referring to squaring the circle. And the idea is that many policymakers, they try to square the net, but the difference with mathematicians is after many tries, they still have not understood that what they are trying to do is not going to work. And so our idea is to help them understand it and to propose some other ways to address issues, in particular issues that are connected to the relationship between creation, the economy of culture, and the internet.
And I think you are very successful within the field of copyright comparing to Germany.
Well, I'm not sure because the various collectives that have been active around these issues, we scored a few points in the European Parliament with the repeated votes to say that anything that is done to regulate the networks and telecommunication will have to respect fundamental rights and cannot circumvent the role of a judiciary. This was twice voted in European Parliament. First time to say that you cannot exclude people from the internet because it has become a fundamental resource of social life, and the second time to say that you cannot, for the benefit of a few limited interest, try to do automatic sanctions that would remove the rights of the defense for people who are accused of, in the French case, of having let people infringe on copyright. And so this may be described as success, but nonetheless our so-called creation and internet law is still in the pipeline. It has been adopted in a very bad form in first reading in the Senate, which is our second chamber, but read first the law. And now it's going to Parliament in about 1 month, and we still don't know whether it will be adopted or not, but there is a risk that it's adopted. So I would not describe what we are doing as pure success, but it's true. I think we have been able to change a bit the terms of the debate.
So you are also known as someone who is not against something like graduature response. You're also known for advocating the blanket license, also known in Germany as Kulturflatrate.
I must say that actually, proposal for blanket licenses have been there, let's say, since 2003 in the United States when Fred Lohmann of the Electronic Frontier Foundation proposed them, and since 2005 in France when a coalition of consumer groups and some management societies, the one for performers, brought forward the idea of a blanket license for authorizing, legalizing peer-to-peer file sharing. I think there is still a bit of a difference with what we are pushing now, but which, by the way, I've proposed to call the creative contribution, maybe to highlight some of the differences with the previous proposals. And the initial proposal, basically, they were a bit ashamed of themselves, I would say. People were sort of saying, you know, we cannot fight piracy on the internet. We have to live with it. So let's do some form of way of authorizing it that at least will bring remuneration to creators. And of course, this was quite a good idea. But people didn't dare actually really stand for the usefulness of sharing contents over the internet. And they sort of been a bit apologetical about it. So, and you could see that they were speaking of making downloads legal, but nobody dared to say, you know, it's the act of taking a digital work representation in information and giving it or sharing it or sending it to someone else. This act is a useful one. I mean, it's a fundamental act of the dissemination of culture, and it has been recognized in the physical carrier spheres, the world of books and records and video cassettes or whatever. It has been recognized as legitimate in this world, but of course the situation was very different. Because when you were giving something, you no longer had it. And when you were giving it, you were giving it to one, maybe five persons if you are doing several copies. But now we can share it with many more people, and we can still keep the benefit of using it. So due to that, the content lobbies, they've decided this has become something to be eradicated. While... what I say is, I mean, if it was useful, to do more of it makes it only more useful. The only problem, it has consequences. So we must be able to deal with the consequences, to organize something so these consequences are positive, are not harmful. And that's what the proposal is about. Other differences that... it is a blanket license. It is in the sense that it is a flat rate paid by internet users every month, or at least broadband internet users. And in France, this will very soon represent 20 million households, so that can produce lots of money with a relatively limited fee. And it authorizes non-market sharing of digitally published works. So one of the differences in my recent proposal is I've precisely defined what non-market meant, and also what
does it mean?
And basically, it's not just... the difficult cases are the gray zones of advertising funded sites and things like that, and I try to draw a precise line of who would be actual beneficiaries of a license, and to focus on the rights of individuals. And let's say added value intermediaries who use advertising, I mean, if it is done in connection to the actual access to work, then they will have to go for commercial licenses. If it is just, let's say, the site which has advertising, but the access to contents is advertising free, then I think they should be allowed to produce added value services. So that's one difference. Another difference is to precise what means digitally published work. I mean, for example, we don't want people, if a movie is shown in theaters, this gives no rights to people to record it, to film it again, and then distribute it on the internet. I mean, if a book is published only in book form, then people don't get a right to scan it, OCR it, and distribute it on the internet. So it's the people who want to do what is legitimate business in the physical sphere or the service sphere, they should be allowed to do it. And, you know, people who will infringe that, they will be counterfactors. What we don't want is they install filters and DRMs and everywhere in the information infrastructure to fight against these very few offenders I'm claiming there will be in the new situation. The other big change, and this is one that has been criticized by people who are sympathetic to this type of proposal, is I propose for the blanket license to be a compulsory one for subscribers to the internet. Everybody is paying it. And some people said, you know, I'm not downloading, why should I pay, or whatever. What I claim is, first, if peer-to-peer file sharing is legitimized, there won't be anybody who knowingly or not does not use the scheme. I mean, actually, it will prove to be such an efficient scheme for the distribution of culture that there will be people who, services that are available on the net that enable it, and people will access content through them. It would mean accessing no form of content, like not even blogs, not even any form of self-production, and I don't believe that's going to happen. And the other thing is, one of the reasons where that has led people to be in distress of being forced to pay for the funding of culture is, first of all, they have been treated as enemies for 10 to 15 years. They have been insulted. They have been... what they do, which is truly good in terms of disseminating works that would not get the public attention without them, is not recognized. But you cannot project that situation on the new situation. I mean, you need lots of pedagogy for people to imagine exactly what would be the new situation. But in the new situation, I believe actually internet users, and many of them are also producers of content, they will become the best allies of remunerating creation. And a lot of what is in the book is how you can leverage this positive commitment of internet users to, for example, make things that people say are impossible, like having a good representation of usage to distribute the product of a blanket license. This becomes, in my opinion, not easy, because this is obviously a systemic thing, but very feasible to do by leveraging the voluntary participation of internet users to those processes.
There are several arguments against the blanket license. One argument is that it's against or it harms the official business models, which are now used by music artists or film artists, and they are not able to earn any money anymore.
Actually, I believe part of the argument is true if you refer to, the business models of pure selling of information, of music as information. Actually, I don't believe this business model truly exists, and that's one of the things I've tried to show in the book. But if you think of the business model that try to associate other form of service and value with the access to musical information, whether it is a better relationship with artists or the creation of communities of interest around styles or concerts, or this, the blanket license, and in particular the specific form of blanket license I'm advocating, instead of harming this business model, they will create a very useful complement to them without stopping them. The difficult case is the case of advertising, because there you will have to use, I mean, people might need advertising for some parts of their activity and cannot do it for others. But you cannot have a magic bullet situation. But if you think to a site like Jamendo, I mean, I'm a Jamendo user, and Jamendo has increased compared to other Creative Commons music sites, let's say the average quality of the music that is on the site, but still it is really struggling to attract professional musicians or musicians that have the hope of reaching for a real audience. I mean, there are some, but not much, and not many. And I believe part of the reason is when you are present on Jamendo, you get an increased attention to you that might help your scene, your concert activities, or that can give you a reputation that you can use for teaching. But this in itself doesn't bring you any income, except if you accept advertising in Jamendo, then you get a share of the income. But I think this site, and but also the labels as kind of incubation for new styles and for common appreciation of the richness of one approach to music, this will be a very useful mechanism in their hand. To right now, what they are, the indies, what they have to do is they have to bet that they will get one or two real success, and that will enable to fund the other ones. And there they can make complementary income from the simple interest of their users or for music. So I believe this is not going to kill the other business model on the internet. It will complement them.
Another argument is that it's there's no chance to count who is listening to what or who's downloading what, and it harms privacy on the one side. On the other side, it's easy to manipulate it.
Yes, well, there I did real technical work, and I studied various scenarios, but the main thing is the collective management societies were held the argument that this was not feasible, or I don't think they actually believe in it, but their view, they were starting from the perspective we are trying to detect pirates, you know, and then they hide. That's not so surprising. Huh? But here we think something different. We think someone was already paid a monetary contribution for having the rights to share content. And now comes the question, will this be correctly distributed? And when I came in that situation, internet users, not all of them, but a significant share of them, enough to create big panels with 200,000 internet users, maybe after some time 1 million, they can accept to have non-privacy intruding voluntary contribution of information on usage of works. It's not just access, not just downloads, mm-hmm. It's also recommendation, links, any form of usage. And these are even surer sign of a real appraisal of a work. And I have tried to model that statistically a bit rigorously to install statistical sampling mechanisms so that make the system robust against organized fraud, and I do believe it works, and I do believe it works for detecting usage of moderately popular works. That is, if you rank the popularity of works, you have this famous curve that is used for long tail analysis, but in practice what you have is a limited number of stars. I mean, in music publishing, for example, you know, I think 4% of the published albums on CDs generate in the next year 95% of sales, and this number is decreasing. There is more and more concentration. If you count works from stars of the other years, I mean, there is a flatter distribution. But what you can observe in voluntary sharing communities and in peer-to-peer, for example, it was done in a recent TNO studies in the Netherlands that is very interesting, is the distribution of attention is much more diverse. And it can be up to 40% of the... let's say a work that is ranked as at 40% of all works in terms of popularity can still be at the limit of what is worth measuring. That is a level of usage that would reasonably generate a possible remuneration. And what I've shown is at that level of usage, you can measure. I mean, you can measure, actually you could measure even with a 20,000 people panel, but you would have to accept that it is not very robust against fraud. With 100,000, you are already quite safe. And so I think this is, actually, I think this is not really an issue. I think there are other arguments that are more powerful that are connected to the funding of the production of new works. And that's also where an element where I've strongly modified the previous proposals is that I propose that the remuneration part is used only to remunerate actual artists, that is composers, authors, performers, and technical contributors. But the part that 50% of the total product would be used for support to production, not for remuneration of producer rights, but for support to production, because on the production side, what we are interested are the works of tomorrow. And there, I have studied how this would work, in particular for movie and audiovisual production, which is the example also for video games production, where production is significant activity with significant investments. And what you find is doesn't work like people seem or claim to believe it's working. That is, the sources of funding for actual production are very diverse. Some are state funds for assistant production, depends of countries, but UK and France is quite a lot. Others come from TV channels. It's actually the predominant source of production, and I don't see how the private consumption of a new form of private consumption of music will totally undermine that in the short term. Anyway, there is an erosion of funding from TVs because there is an erosion of watching TV, and that's an excellent news. So I think using the blanket license to provide an additional source of funding is really going to be a quite interesting complementary source. If you dream of funding all production of all works, we forget about it, because all production of all works is maybe in the range of, I don't know, 8 to 10 billion euro in a country like Germany. But that's not how it happens. I mean, and maybe the key contribution to funding of cultural works is teaching. I mean, teaching positions or particular for activities where, like writing books or other activities where the production of a work can be done by a very small group of individuals. For things like movies, different, but as I said, it can also be handled.
Okay, I would have some more arguments, but unfortunately the time is running out.
Okay.
Do you have English information about your studies, or is it only in French?
I am preparing now an English version of a book, which should appear sometime in 2009. And it's not just a translation, it's adapted for global readership, and it will include some comparisons at the international level, including with the US, not just Europe. But right now, there is basically a 1.5-page synopsis of a French book and a table of contents on my website.
Okay, I will link for it and look forward for the English version.
Okay,
thank
well,
you.
You might be required to help in its production.
Oh, thank you.
By reading the German part of it.
Oh, I would really love to. Okay, thank you.